Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today can be summed up in one word, blessed. Both Mary and Elizabeth are feeling blessed by the Lord. They both find themselves to be pregnant rather unexpectedly, but joyfully so. And they are going to be mothers of some very important people in God's plan of salvation. Elizabeth will be the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. And of course, Mary will have the greatest honor of all to be the mother of the Christ himself, Jesus the Messiah. Both are excited, both are full of joy, and they're glad because they can share their joy together. And so, when Elizabeth sees Mary, she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." They are truly blessed, but they're not the only ones. We are blessed as well, aren't we? We have lots of reasons to be full of joy because of all the blessings we have received from the Lord, all the good gifts that he has given to us. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." It's such a great verse because it talks about how every good gift that we have in our life isn't some accident that just happens to fall into our laps. It is the blessing of a good and gracious God that we have these good things in our life. And we have so many of them. We can't possibly count all of our blessings. It's impossible to do so, but it's good to try. It's good to remember all the many blessings that the Lord has given us. I think in our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 1, there are four blessings here that Mary and Elizabeth experience, but also you and I experience as well from the Lord that sometimes we might take for granted, but it's good for us to remember how blessed we truly are. Let me share with you four good gifts of God that are right here in Luke chapter 1 as we read the account of the visitation. Number one, the first gift that God gives us is life. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Luke 1, 41 and 42. You see, physical life is a gift from the Lord. It is a wonderful gift, although it is one we take for granted far too often. When you think about it, it's God's gift of physical life that makes all the other gifts God gives us possible. It's so basic, we just kind of assume it and take it for granted. But we didn't give ourselves life. God gave us life. It is his gift to us. Elizabeth, in our lesson today, is so excited to see Mary. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. And when she sees her, she simply cries out for joy. "Blessed are you among women." She's so happy for Mary that she is pregnant just as she is. And they are filled with joy that they can share God's good gift of life together. It would be a mistake, though, to think that there's only two people involved in this account. Now, there's four people involved, aren't they? Of course, we have Elizabeth and Mary. But there's two other people that are also present, John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ, are both present physically as well. We don't want to forget, the unborn are people too. Mary and Elizabeth didn't refer to their soon-to-be born sons as fetuses. They're exactly what every expectant mother knows them to be. They are their children. And these children already have names picked out for them by God himself. "You shall name him John. His name shall be, you shall name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Those who think that the unborn are not persons or are not human beings don't remember their scriptures, and they must not remember their own history. Because everyone who thinks the unborn are not real people forget that they too were unborn persons, living and growing in their mother's womb. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." The Bible is very clear that unborn people are human beings, specifically and especially created by God, uniquely and wonderfully and fearfully made. Each one of us, the scriptures say, was knit together by God in our mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that is not something to be taken lightly. You are God's very own masterpiece, the work of his own hands. Your life is not an accident. Your life is not a series of accidents and mishaps. Your life is given to you by God himself. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The second good gift that we have here that is on display in the account of the visitation is number two, faith. Luke 1:41 says, "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." Now that verse always stuns me. So Elizabeth is excited to see Mary and Jesus, but she's not the only one. John the Baptist literally leaps for joy. That's exactly how Elizabeth talks about it a little bit later on. She says, "When my baby heard your voice, he leaped for joy." We wonder, how could that possibly be? Well, he has the same reaction as his mom, and he is filled with joy from the Holy Spirit. This, my friends, is the result of faith. Joy comes from faith in the Messiah, and John, even in the womb, believes in Jesus as the Messiah. Now you might go, "Well, how's that possible? He's a baby in the womb." Well, it's a miracle. There's only one way faith is possible. It's always miraculous. It is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." You see, faith is always a miracle. Today, we have the privilege of witnessing the work of the Holy Spirit right before our very eyes. Lucas was baptized into the Christian faith, and baptism is the Holy Spirit's work. It is, as Titus 3:5 calls it, the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. It is not something a pastor does. It is not something a church does. It is not something people do. No, what makes baptism baptism is water and the word and the Holy Spirit working through that word of God. Now, many Christians, wonderful Christians, who are strong believers, sometimes struggle with understanding how it is possible for babies to believe in Jesus. And I understand their questions. I understand where they're coming from, because what we're talking about here is not something that logically we can reason. It is based on the promises of Scripture, and it is based on the fact that faith is always a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. But for those who wonder if infants can believe, I just encourage them to meditate on Luke chapter 1 and on the faith of John the Baptist. Even while he is an unborn person in the womb, he already believes in Jesus. That's not his doing. It's not even Elizabeth's doing. It is the work, the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because the Holy Spirit has done that miraculous work in each of us. Whether we believed as babies when we were brought to faith through the waters of baptism, or whether we came to faith later in our life, either way, it was a miracle. We are by nature sinful and unclean. We are by nature unbelievers. We are rock hard in our opposition against God. But God, the Holy Spirit, is able, through his means of grace, word and sacrament, able to break through our hard hearts and bring us to saving faith. Faith is a miracle of the Holy Spirit, no matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you're 6 months, doesn't matter if you're 6 years, doesn't matter if you're 16, doesn't matter if you're 66 years old. Whenever a person comes to faith, it is always a miracle. And whenever a person comes to faith, it is always the work of the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And of course, that brings us to the one that we have faith in. You see, life is God's good gift, and faith is God's good gift, but the greatest gift of all is Jesus himself. The greatest joy that Elizabeth, John, and Mary experience is being in the presence of God's greatest gift. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Luke 1:43. Elizabeth understands the privilege she is being given. Notice her focus is not on Mary, her focus is on Jesus. Why should the mother of my Lord? She realized who the Lord is. Jesus at this point is still an unborn person, but he is, as Elizabeth tells us, he is still the Lord. Even in Mary's womb, Jesus is still Elizabeth's Lord. He is John's Lord. He is Mary's Lord. He is your Lord. And he is my Lord. He is the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, even in the womb. And he is truly God's greatest gift for us, God's very own precious Son given to us. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, Jesus is God's greatest gift because he is God's Son in the flesh. But he's even more than that. He is God's greatest gift because of what he brings to us, which is eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. As John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gives us eternal life by faith in his Son, and whoever believes in that Son has everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, so that no one can boast." Even the faith to believe in the Son isn't our own doing. That faith is the gift of God, not because of works, so no one can boast. Jesus is God's greatest gift, who gives us the free gift of eternal life, that which we need more than anything else. And because we have received this gift by faith, like Elizabeth, like Mary, like John the Baptist, we are filled with joy, and that joy leads us to respond with one more of God's good and gracious gifts, and that's number 4, music. God's good and gracious gifts, life, faith, Jesus, and music. Music is the proper reaction to this incredible gift that God has given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Mary, like Elizabeth and John the Baptist, is filled with incredible, overwhelming joy. She's so filled with joy to be the mother of the Messiah, and also to know that God was about to fulfill his long-awaited promise. She's so filled with joy, she can't contain herself, and she begins to sing. She sings a song called the Magnificat because it begins with that word magnifies. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Magnificat has been part of the church's worship and liturgy and hymnody ever since the earliest times. She, a lowly maiden, a humble servant of the Lord, has been exalted by the Lord himself to be the mother of the Messiah in God's great plan of salvation. She sings out, "Look at what the Lord has done for me." She is full of joy, but Mary is not the only person who has a reason for joy. We too, when we see all the good things that God has given to us, every good and perfect gift is from above. Look at what the Lord has done for us. He sends us Jesus. He gives us everlasting life. He gives us faith. He gives us life. He gives us everything we need. What should we respond with? Well, with joy and music and praise. As Ephesians 5:19 puts it, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Mary, we have great reason for joy. God sent his Son in the world to save us and to give us eternal life, and that is something worth singing about. And that's what we love to do this time of year, isn't it? We love Advent and Christmas music. I don't know any Christian who doesn't. We might have our different songs that we enjoy, but we all love singing at this time of year because we have so much to sing about. Joyful music and praise is the right response to all the good things God has done for us. We love to sing songs like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, or Joy to the World, or Away in a Manger, or The Little Town of Bethlehem, because it is our way of giving thanks to God for all the good things he has done, because we have all been blessed by the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.